Father, I just thank you right now for the supply you've given to your children. I thank you, Father God, that this offering is blessed abundantly. I thank you, Father God, that an angelic host is touching the offering as it's passed around. And 100-fold is being returned back to your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Tonight I'm going to teach on God's nature is to bless. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10 says, Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, Because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. See that? Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now Jabez was a young man who refused to accept a negative word spoken over his life, and instead demonstrated to us the power of appropriating godly blessing through prayer and proclamation. Now, his mother called him Jabez, saying, Because I bore him in pain. Now, we said that Jabez was a young man who refused to accept a negative word spoken over his life, and instead demonstrated to us the power of appropriating godly blessing through prayer and proclamation. At this point, it is important to lay a biblical foundation of our understanding of God's nature and divine will in the realm of blessing. The word bless in Strong's Greek number 2127 is to speak well of, religiously, to bless, thank, or invoke a benediction upon, prosper, bless, or praise. Strong's Greek in 2128 says adorable and blessed. In Strong's Greek 3106, to beautify, i.e. pronounce or esteem, fortunate, call blessed, count happy. In Strong's Greek in 3107 says supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, blessed, and happier. Amen? That's blessed. The origin of blessing, the father heart of God for all families. It has always been God's original intention to bless his children. The blessing of our Heavenly Father produces fruitfulness as an outflow of his presence and power operating in our lives. Listen to that again. The blessing of our Heavenly Father produces fruitfulness as an outflow of his presence and power operating in our lives. God's heart is to nurture and bless the family unit so that his glory may be revealed in all the earth. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. That's what he told Adam and Eve, right? In 2 Samuel 6:20, we read how David returned to bless his household after the ark of the Lord had been established and set in place. King David sent his people back home with a blessing, and then he ensured that his own household was also blessed. Do you men speak a blessing over your household? David had a revelation that blessing is for all families everywhere. All families everywhere. God's nature is to bless. In Genesis 12, 2 and 3, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. See, we're supposed to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I always tell God, if you have me bring people into my home, then I should be a blessing to them. I should be able to keep them. Are you understanding this? Come on, we're supposed to be a blessing. God's promise to bless Abraham and all the nations of the earth through his servant is first for the nation of Israel. However, Since we, the Gentile church, are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And we'll find it in Ephesians 3:6. We are all positioned in Christ both to receive blessing and to release blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus to the nations of the earth. Abraham was called into a covenant relationship with God through which global blessing was released to all tribes and cultures. Abraham was called into a covenant relationship with God through which global blessing was released to all tribes and cultures. Now, if you're called into a covenant, I would say if you were called into a covenant relationship with God, then you are anointed to bless and not curse. Amen. The blessing of God is not limited to our nationality. Our heavenly citizenship becomes a conduit of spiritual blessing to our natural lineage, regardless of our culture or nationality. Our sonship in covenant relationship with God through Christ positions us to inherit a legacy of grace blessing. Of grace blessing. Perhaps Jabez, who was described as more honorable than his brothers, had discovered this priceless pearl. And his cry to God to bless him was a result of a personal encounter with God, through which he came to understand he was heir of a promise of blessing of astronomical proportion. He understood this. I want us to understand this tonight. We are in the same shoes as Jabez was. The Father loves to bless. Matthew 25:34 says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Jesus spoke and demonstrated blessing, acknowledging that such blessing flows from the Father heart of God to his children. Jesus placed this blessing from his Father in the context of the kingdom being graciously given in an inheritance to the children of God. We have inherited that blessing. But I don't see too many people walking in the blessing of the Father. We see a correlation that those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven are indeed heirs of blessing. Furthermore, Christ's words establish a firm foundation that blessing is for a purpose. We are not blessed to have an inflated ego in reception of such grace. Rather, as we are blessed, we fulfill our Abrahamic mandate to be a blessing to all nations. We should be a blessing to everybody we meet. Everybody comes into our house should be blessed by us. Everybody who comes to the church door should be blessed. Genesis 12:2-3. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Will. Not maybe. Are we not heirs of Abraham? Then we should be a blessing also. Jabez may also have gained some understanding by divine revelation about the aspect of blessing bringing increase as he prayed to God. In the latter part of his prayer, Jabez goes on to ask the Lord to enlarge his territory. Such a prayer ought to flow from a life that is yielded in walking in obedience to God. Such a prayer ought to flow from a life that is yielded in walking in obedience to God, so that any increase that God grants is for the furtherance of his kingdom on earth and not for selfish endeavor. Reciprocal blessing flows between heaven and earth. A quick search of the Psalms reveals that they are blessed with many examples of God's people ascribing greatness, glory, and blessing unto his name. We also see a clear principle being revealed in Scripture that blessing is reciprocal and flows between heaven and earth. God blesses his people, and his people bless him with hearts that flow with adoration and thankfulness. We are required to engage in the process of blessing God and acknowledging ongoing blessing from God. We are required to engage in the process of blessing God and acknowledging ongoing blessing from God. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Psalms 5:12, for you, Lord, will bless the righteous. See that? I will bless the Lord at all times. May we bless God with all our heart, strength, and mind, and experience the blessing of God in all that we do for His glory. Come on. You know, if you're sitting here poor and beggarly, how are you going to bless anybody else? You're under the curse. You have to be blessed in order to be a blessing. The fire of intimacy. We need to understand that God is into relationship. There is nothing more important to Him than our spending time with Him. We go over that over and over and over again. This is the beginning and end of all things in our lives. This intimacy with God is to intensely burn in our hearts. It is a fire that burns inside of us. This is not a dull softness. Fire burns. God wants us to have such a burn in us that it catches things on fire. His love is fire that is all-consuming. His love is fire that is all-consuming. When His love is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, there is a burn within us that causes us to want to come back to God for more of His life and presence. When His love is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, there is a burn within us that causes us to want to come back to God for more of His life and presence. The heart was created for passion and intimacy with God. With God. The heart was created for passion and intimacy with God. When people don't have this intimacy with God within them, they turn to other things to try to fill that spot. You hear me? We are first of all supposed to put all of our attention on God. Bless Him, give Him ourselves, do everything that we do for the glory of the Father. We aren't supposed to be wanting to satisfy the people around about us. It's God first. This intense intimacy is not a mushy, lovey kind of expression, but rather that which carries an authority, power, and burning that is threatening to the devil. Say, this intense intimacy is not a mushy, lovey kind of expression, but rather that which carries an authority, power, and burning that is threatening to the devil. This is why when Jesus walked into a room and there was demons in a person, the demons jumped out of that person. Because He had the power and the authority, and it threatened the devil. When we get so full of this, we walk into the Walmart or JCPenney's. Somebody has demons in them. They'll start screaming, what do you have to do with me? Amen. Then you'll know that you have that burning inside of you when this happens. There is also a covenant associated with this kind of intimacy. It is not double-minded and it has no opt-out. There is also covenant associated with this kind of intimacy. It is not double-minded and has no opt-out. Song of Solomon 8:6 says, set me as a seal upon your heart. Wouldn't that be wonderful? As a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as a grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. See that? Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death. Don't you want God to set you as a seal upon His heart? Amen. Set me as a seal. Two times in this verse it says, set me as a seal. This refers to perform a preeminence worthy of worship. This says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm hooked. I'm yours. You have me where you want me. So go ahead and burn me on your heart and arm. Mark me on your very being and person. Just as Jesus said, the Father and I are one. And this is what Psalm is saying. He said, I want to be one with you, Father. Amen. We too become one with God in this commitment and dedication and in this awakening to his love. When God gives us an encounter with his love, with one with who he is, or opens up our eyes to see things we have never seen before in a dimension that we have never experienced before, then we are taken to another place. Let's say that again. We too become one with God in this commitment and dedication in this awakening to his love. When God gives us an encounter with his love, with who he is, or opens up our eyes to see things we have never seen before, and isn't that what he was talking about this morning? In a dimension that we have never experienced before, in a dimension we have never experienced before, then we are taken to another place. In his place, there is such an awakening that it is addicting. With this, it invokes a response from us that says, there is no other place I'd rather be. Come on. It says there's no, but some people want to go to a bar. Some people want to go visit their mother. Some people want to go on a picnic. So they don't have a heart for God. Because with me, I've always said ever since I've been born again, Sunday belongs to God. It doesn't matter what goes on. If you have a birthday, then we'll celebrate either the day before or the day after. But we don't do it on Sunday. Because I want to be in the house of the Father. Amen. I used to go to Pennsylvania every weekend and clean my mother's house. We'd leave 3 o'clock in the morning so I could be in church Sunday morning. And I wasn't a pastor then either. And you know what? I'd be sitting in that car and I'd be reading my word, and God would just fill that car, and he would just talk to me. And my husband would say, wow, this is awesome. Because you're sitting here and you're so close to God that he says it comes into this car at 3 o'clock in the morning and communes with us. Isn't that awesome? I didn't mind going up there every weekend cleaning her house. She was sickly, because I had an encounter with God every Sunday morning at 3 o'clock. Amen. Come on. Eye-opening encounters. Just as Jacob had the experience with the angel in the ladder of heaven exclaiming, this is none other than the house of God. His eyes were open to a realm that he had not experienced up to that point. Just as Jacob had the experience with the angel in the ladder of heaven, exclaiming, this is none other than the house of God. His eyes were open to a realm that he had not experienced up to that point. Where life may seem hard, mundane, and difficult, all of a sudden he is shocked with an encounter from the heavenly realm of God. And now things are different in his life. His eyes are enlarged as he responds to this amazing encounter with God's realm. This is what God wanted to do with us this morning, and this is what he wants to do with us tonight. He doesn't want us to stay in the mundane realm any longer. He wants us to go to a higher realm in him, one we've never been to. Paul encouraged us to set our sights on things above. It is in this infatuation with God's realm, rather than the dullness of the earthly, that we can then live from that place of his kingdom. It is in this infatuation with God's realm, rather than the dullness of the earthly, that we can then live from that place of his kingdom. It is our inheritance to live from the original realm where all things came from. Where all things came from, which is heaven, right? All that we see came from what is invisible to the natural eye. It is our inheritance to live from the original realm where all things come from. God's been saying to us, you should be living in the third heaven, has he not? The reason why we aren't is because we are not completely infatuated with God's realm. We say it with our lips, but there has to be something in our heart that's still not set free to go ahead and be totally and completely consumed with the Father. Think about this. Where does your eyes go? Where do your ears go? Where do your thoughts go? Are they always going to the kingdom? Think about that. This is a place God wants us to touch and I'm sorry, this is the place God wants us in touch with, because it is here that depths of intimacy are awakened in our hearts. It is in his kingdom realm that the fire of his intense intimacy is released into our being. It is in his kingdom realm that the fire of his intense intimacy is released into our being. We have not yet gone up high enough into the kingdom realm, or we would be receiving more than what we're receiving. Getting in touch with God in his realm is required for us to have notable experiences with him. You wonder why people have encounters that you want, you never get. Well, getting in touch with God in his realm is required for us to have notable experiences with him. You're going to have to climb higher. You're going to have to get in touch with God, and then you'll have some experiences that nobody else has. Amen. It is not far away from us, but is readily accessible because of the blood of Christ. You hear me? We can reach that kingdom realm. Jesus opened the way for us to enter boldly into this place of deepest intimacy with God. His overflow be yours tonight. Jesus is full of the kingdom of God. And what God wants is he wants the Jesus' overflow to overflow into your life. God wants us to come to that place, guys, where Satan can no longer touch us. You know, we won't get offended. We won't be doing dumb things, you know, just because. But when we get up into that kingdom realm, all truth is there. All honesty is there. And we don't do dumb things because we're so in tune to God. What God spoke to me and said that the body of Christ needs that eye-opening encounter that Jabez had. Are you listening? The body of Christ needs that eye-opening encounter that Jabez had. Like Jabez, we need our eyes open to a realm we have never experienced before. I've got this in another teaching I'm getting together, but I want to share something with you before I go tell what the other two things God said. You know, from the time I was born again, you know, the gifts just flowed and just flowed. I saw the ladder that and the angels going up and down from heaven. I saw miracle after miracle after miracle. But one day God spoke to me and said, "Daughter, from this day you're going under the curse." And I called Brother Chris and I said, "Brother Chris, you know, Gore," I said, "I just heard God tell me I'm going under the curse." He said, "That's not true. That's not true." But I read where when you go under the curse, your anointing isn't there no more. The signs, wonders, and miracles aren't there anymore. You don't have the power and authority that you have when you're under the blessing. Are you listening? And so as I realized that, I just sat and wept, and I said, "God, but you told me in Isaiah 54 you was going to be angry with me just for a little while. And you told me not a couple years ago you're no longer angry with me. So please let that curse be off of me now and let the blessings flow." And I know the curse is gone. I know the blessings are flowing. But I still want to go into that higher realm that it wasn't even at whenever I was walking in total blessing. So tonight, you know, there's a place you can go to where nobody else has gone that you've never gone to before. And in that place, you will receive total blessing from the Father. But you know what? You have to be walking in the newness of life. You can't be out there dabbling in sin and expect to go into heavenly places. You can't. I don't want to stop anybody from going higher tonight. So anyhow, God said that we need that eye-opening encounter that Jabez had. Like Jabez, we need our eyes open to a realm we have never experienced before. Tonight, we need a life-changing, gut-wrenching experience from his kingdom realm. Whatever you do, do not be satisfied just with the mundane any longer. God told me to tell you that. He said he wants you to want, desire the fullest extent of his kingdom realm. Some of you in here tonight, I know you've been struggling. You've been praying, you've been fasting, and you want God to set you free from the bondage that you're in. Tonight, God's here to do that. If you're one of those now, then, that sin nature is still there, but you've been struggling and you've been crying out to God. God wants to free you tonight. He wants to take you to that place in His kingdom where there's total and complete freedom. And I'm telling you, God is in the house. God is in the house. And when God is in the house, He does miracles. So tonight, as you come to the altar, I want you to come asking God to open your eyes like Jabez's eyes were open, to take you into that realm that you've never been to before, that you want that life-changing, gut-wrenching experience from His kingdom realm. Ask Him, Father God, as you take me into your spirit, just don't let me lay here, but take my spirit to a different realm. And let me be changed in that realm. Let me have a life-changing experience tonight. I don't want to leave here the same as I came. I am tired of the mundane. I am tired of living life down here in this earth. I want to live life in the spirit realm. God is for us and not against us, guys. He's for us and not against us. He wants to set us totally and completely free. There is no other way but the way of Jesus Christ. Life on this earth is mundane. But in God's kingdom, there's one surprise after another. Nothing's ever the same. Let's receive everything that God has for us tonight. Come on. No doubting, no wavering. God said it. We believe it, right? God said it, we believe it. Come on. When you get up off this floor, you don't want to be the same.